When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
In the spirit of reconciliation, the Swapcast acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respect to the elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples today.
We're talking again
about body swapping.
Welcome to the Swapcast podcast, the world's only podcast dedicated to body swap movies. I'm your host, Paul Mitzi. Unfortunately, Lucy is unwell this week, so with me, we only have
Brendan Levi.
But as a special treat, we have the very special guest from the fantastic podcast Hunting Seasons,
Broderick Gordis.
In today's episode, we will be breaking down the 2022 Thai language Netflix original, AI Love You, starring Mario Mora and Pim Chanok Lao Wais Ka Pai Boon, where an artificially intelligent building takes over the body of a human man in order to romance a woman who works inside of him.
I can understand getting confused.
But before we get into that, just a reminder that we absolutely love hearing from our listeners and we welcome film suggestions for future episodes. So please reach out to us on Twitter or Instagram, send us an email at theswapcastpodcast@gmail.com. And if you want to support our show, reviewing us is the best way possible. So to say thank you, if we reach 100 star ratings on iTunes and Spotify, we will finally fulfill our fans' most common request to review Faces.
That's right. Welcome to the Locker Room Edition. Boys only.
Oof, 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 oof. Oh my God.
It's the super manly thing that three guys just watching a Thai rom-com together.
I was thinking, since I'm filling in for Lucy, I'm going to have to pull you guys up on all your sexist bullshit just to like fill in for her. Someone's going to stand up for the women.
And we're going to double down on
I'll
do my best. I'll do my best, Lucy. I'll try my best. I'm sorry.
How's it having a penis, Brendan?
Oh, I just played it all.
Thanks, Brod, for coming on to our show at such short notice.
No worries.
I know you're super keen to use the little free time you have to watch Thai sci-fi rom-coms.
I was already trying to watch the movie we're watching for our movie club this week, plus watch all of Peacemaker in preparation for reviewing that tomorrow for my podcast. And then out of the blue, Paul's like, hey, do you want to fill in and watch this hour and a half long Thai rom-com come on our show? I'm like, sure, I guess. And then I had the audacity to fuck up the time and the day we're recording just to make it way more complex. Sorry about that.
Conspiracy theory. I think Lucy watched the trailer and was smart enough to print.
yeah, like the whole family's sick, guys. We can't do it this week. All right, so on to AI Love You. This film is not only a body swap, it's a romance. It's speculative science fiction. It even becomes a martial arts film towards the end. So my question is, did it do any of those things well? Brod?
It did a lot of them. I'm not even going to say adequately. I'll put it this way. I didn't think the film was outright terrible. I thought it was a long, long way from being good, if that makes sense. It's my general feelings on the movie. No particular element really stood out as being good. Everything seemed to be about as paint by numbers as it could be for the most part. Its sci-fi elements were thoroughly underexplored. And what was an interesting premise, ended up making for a really basic, kitschy rom-com, basically, unfortunately.
Wholeheartedly agree. Like, by an hour and 8 minutes, anything that could have been potentially interesting or could have been like derived from this plot, like, was just completely shut down once we entered Mortal Kombat zone of robots with, I don't know, what was it, like a
a laser sword.
Laser sword that looked like a Dyson fan or something.
Were anyway. They like vending machine robots? They were. I actually really like the design of those robots, but yeah, it got real, real weird, real quick in there.
Okay. Like, for all the things I could say that's terrible, not even terrible, just mediocre about this movie, I did actually think they took a different punt at designing the world. Like, I've never seen robot buildings that mm-hmm. have like giant robot heads on top and arms that I don't know what they do, but
I was trying to imagine that too. Most of them had like one arm because the way they were designed. I guess sometimes you saw them carrying things. It's like, I guess they're like, maybe
passing
if you move
across
into
the city,
yeah, like, that'd be cool. That'd be like, yeah, just like do as a daisy chain down the city. But I was thinking, like, imagine you move and like they just pick up your crate of stuff and like move it straight into the apartment. Like, that'd be freaking cool. Actually, really helpful that.
Yeah, but like they never showed the use of the arm, so it just kind of looked like completely useless.
There was one point I remember there was a robot that was holding something. I have no idea what it was holding or
yeah,
what
like
it was
shipping
doing
container
with it.
Or
yeah,
something
it was
like
something
that, yeah.
like that. Yeah, I was just thinking, and that made me go, but okay, what does that mean? And again, that's where it's like it's completely underutilized, its sci-fi elements, and also misunderstood the fact this is actually a dystopian future. Where these fucking creepy AI are not just watching everything you do, they're gossiping with each other and trying to like funnel you down this path and like matchmake you and shit without your permission. That was fucked up.
Well, and also like taking over people's bodies.
Oh, that too. Yeah, that bit too. Like, but like,
yeah, Bob, the body that Dob consumes.
Oh
that
my
guy's
God.
100% dead. Like, He did not survive. He got his brain fried and it was replaced by a robot.
He was wearing Bob as skin. That's exactly right. It was fucked up.
Yeah, I have to agree. Like, I didn't hate this film, but it is bad in a lot of ways. And I think you're underselling how batshit it really feels. Like, it really
I wish it felt
is
more batshit.
Crazy.
I really kind of wish it was a bit more off the wall. The problem was it's so stale on so many levels. It's so like basic and mediocre on a rom-com level. It's mm-hmm. so like it doesn't feel crazy enough for it to feel crazy. It's like if you pick it apart and look at the individual elements, like the fact that Dob wears Bob as a skin suit. Yes, that's fucked up. But I know it could have gone way further. It kind of just felt like a student film sometimes, like the things that I would find charming or funny are the sort of things that maybe someone in year 10 would write rather than, you know, what a feature film writer should be writing. Those sorts of things, which didn't make it crazy. It just kind of made it like whatever.
It's just the implications of everything.
Yes.
So it's just so lazily written that everything that you're presented with, you're like, hang on a second. If I follow the logical conclusion of this world and everything that's happening, like, this is horrifying, you know? Like,
100%.
It almost felt at times like a special effects showreel. Like, you could see somebody presenting this as like, look what I can do as a student. I can make these realistic looking robots and stuff.
When was this film made?
Now.
Yeah, maybe if they were doing special effects for mid-2000s Doctor Who, but apart from that, I wouldn't use this as a showreel.
I didn't think that the special effects looked terrible. Like, I felt the buildings and stuff looked good.
Okay.
I think they were the best thing about the film.
Maybe what I'm thinking of is more the lighting and the set design, of which it was it was made in a BBC studio in the mid-2000s is what it felt like to me.
Yeah. No, I totally see that.
But before we get any further, Paul, because Lucy's not here, I feel like I should be the one to set the timer, get going on the plot summary. 30 seconds on the clock.
Shit. This shouldn't be too hard. You can do this. Was it 30 or 60?
30.
Oh,
30.
Yeah, even in 30, you can do this one.
Yeah, this one's. Okay, on your marks, get set, go.
So Lana is working in a building that's artificially intelligent. He falls in love with her and she goes on a whole bunch of bad dates. And then one of the bad dates ends up being the guy working on the building. And then the building goes into the bad guy's body. And then he tries to romance her, but she doesn't have it because he used to be an asshole. But then makes her fall in love with her. And then there's a bad guy that wants to kill the robots and then...
I'm so sorry.
I think you had a real shot at that one. You fumbled the ball a little bit, Paul. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, your explanation was sort of like the movie where they forgot they threw in this part about, oh, yeah, we've got to wrap up that plot thread about there being an evil gang out there. Is it a gang that
No. It's the company that make it, but the AI's gone rogue, and their solution is to use... What was he called? The guy?
The Hawk.
The Hawk.
Yeah, but it's not like we went to a corporate office to, like, voices... They went to like a seedy underbelly sort of.
That's just the corporate vibe they've got going.
It's just because in the future everything is neon lit.
Everything, all of it,
every single thing. But yeah, so that's where I feel this film really went off the wall. So in the first half of the film, we established that there's like this asshole guy Bob, and he's watching all these like how to pick up women videos on the internet. And they're hosted by this, like, creepy white guy.
This guru.
And his guru. And then we find out in the second half of the movie that the guru moonlights as an AI hunter. Now, the film never establishes that. Well, it kind of establishes this is a kind of an outside of the norm situation of a building taking over a human. But for some reason, there's like a specific guy that hunts these things down as a job. And he's like, I guess, supposed to be like the Terminator. He thinks he looks like the Terminator, but it's just like he looks like a 45-year-old white guy. Cosplayer.
Yeah, cosplayer is exactly what it looks like. That fucking... Yeah. The curved, like, lightsaber thing he had going with... But on the right angles, you could see the LED lights, like, that lit it up. Yeah, it was... It looked like cosplay.
And so badly acted. Horrible. But why was he a pickup artist by day and AI hunter by night?
I was thinking about this too. And apart from just making it feel like there's about six people who live in this city, It did, I guess, tie into the idea that, like, the guru was a bad guy. If you didn't get it already, that, like, the idea of how you pick up women is you be an asshole to them was a bad idea. Guess what? This guy also kills rogue AI as his moon. Like, they just wanted to make it, like, a full thought that this guy is a bad guy, so don't like him. I thought that, or they just couldn't pay for another actor, or the guy was the director and wanted to be in it more. I don't know.
Yeah, there's no reason for it. It just happened.
But again, like, I wasn't mad at them wanting to shut down the rogue AI. Like, he is out there taking over human bodies. Like, get rid of him.
Yeah, 100% was the right thing to do. But at this point, we're meant to love the protagonist. We're meant to love Bob and don't want him to die. Dob. Who is in Bob, and want him to die at this point, and want him and Lana to get together. So, of course, that means everybody who opposes them is the bad guy, Paul. Don't you understand how stories work?
I'm sorry.
Everything that we've seen about Dob, like, paints, like, a worse picture than Bob. That's my opinion anyway. Like,
can I tell you my
Bob
favorite
isn't
scene?
Isn't as bad as Dob.
Bob's not as bad as Dob. I'll tell you my favorite scene. My favorite scene was when he finally got Lana out on that date, and... At the end of the date, Lana says to him, like, you've really redeemed yourself. And all we saw on that date was Dob order way too much food and then need to go to the toilet with explosive diarrhea and then burp. They never talked. There was no conversation. There was no getting to know each other. There was just these three weird things that happened. And then Lana's like, you really redeemed yourself tonight. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, yeah. It's like, he's so charming the way he just tells me that he wants to take a shit. So appealing.
Well, did you guys watch it in Thai or in English?
I actually started watching it in English. And I almost committed to it because I need to. This is my favorite line when we do our movie club. I had to do some ironing while I was watching the film. But I decided, you know what? I'm on the podcast. I'm a guest. I'll do it properly. And I watched it in Thai with subtitles. Okay.
And I was like, we're having a guest. I'm going to actually read the dubbed version.
Good. Because in the dubbed version, when he's on his first date with her and he wants to go to the toilet, he says, I really need to defecate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that's very, that actually made me laugh. It was a funny line. Then I watched it in English just to see what their version of it. And he says, I need to use the facilities, which completely robs the scene of its comedic premise. Like,
Paul,
the whole point is that...
comedic premise, mate.
Well, look, the whole point of the fucking scene is that he is a robot that doesn't know how to speak as a human.
Sure.
So saying I need to use the facilities completely betrays the character.
Yeah.
Him saying defecate establishes everything we need to know about Dobbs.
So just know that if you watch this in the English dubbed version, you've ruined the experience. And it's much better if you watch it in Thai. Like, yeah, you'll have a better time with this not horrendous film, this very mediocre movie.
Yeah, well, another thing I noticed with the subs and the dubs differences, in that date when she initially has with Bob before he gets taken over and he's a complete arsehole to her, at one point he pulls up his shirt,
yeah,
and she's like, I think she was asking, like, what's so good about you? And then he lifts up his shirt. It's like, my pink nipples, which I didn't understand. But
didn't you? That was one of my first questions I wrote down, Paul, was like, because it's like, you know, what makes you worth the trouble? And he pulls up his shirt and goes, these pink nipples. And I was like, Paul?
Like,
nipples worth the trouble?
Look, I'm not I thought the pink nipples were nice, but maybe it's like a Thai cultural thing that, like, people with pink nipples are more, like, prized than people with darker nipples. Maybe that's a thing. I don't know.
In the movie, it was explained that Lana said it's his excuse to show off his abs, right?
Yeah.
So somehow showing his pink nipple was his way of, like, without saying it, I've got rockin' abs. The weird thing is they didn't show his abs in the fucking movie. So the guy didn't have abs and they didn't even find a shot from a, you know, a stunt double or whatever to do it with. I was like, well, that was, you had to tell me that's what the reason was. And so I'm just looking at a fucking nipple and going, what?
And then there's a table of girls behind them, mm-hmm, and they're all, like, checking him out, and he then gives them the eye. And then she gets really upset about
And starts calling them whores. Like,
just calling them whores. So in the dub, she calls them skanks. So I don't know.
Either way,
A
group of normal looking women who find him attractive. And she's like, look at those skank whores over there. Looking at you. Like, that was one of the other things I wrote down. I don't know why I'm supposed to like Lana. Like, where, like, all the things that Dob goes through to pretend to, like, be so that Lana finds him more appealing, like, we don't see any of that from her. Like, we don't see her caring for the elderly or having some, like, unique personal trait that that we can all just go, oh, wow, she's really cool in some way. She's just
very good looking.
There. And, yeah, attractive, exactly.
Yeah, but, like, really, as an AI, like, would he even have a gender or a sexual preference?
Well, that's
or,
what
like,
I mean.
An like, idea of what's attractive or not. Like, he falls in love with her at the beginning as a building with her inside of him. And there's, like, thousands of other people in this building as well. You can't tell.
And comes across this woman who's mediocre at her job. Like,
and
does it
the
for
thing
her.
Is, this fucking stupid AI system. So it's an AI that looks after thousands of people in a building. Like, the building itself is the AI and looks after all the people in the building. But the reason that the company decides they want to, like, shut him off is because he's getting distracted by Lana and he's not doing the other shit he's supposed to be doing. So they've created an AI that's can ignore all the other shit it's doing to focus on one person. Like,
dystopian, Paul. This is
isn't that
if you think of a film like Her, which made a bit more sense because the AI was falling in love with him, but it was also doing a whole bunch of other shit because it was an AI. It could do multiple things at the same time. Like, it made no fucking sense.
But it did because it's like, it's an actual a unique being. Like, it's not just a machine. Like, so
you guys are
the things
you're thinking about this more than the movie did, just so you know.
Well, I had nothing else to do because I was watching this piece of shit.
How about the fact that, like, when Dob goes into Bob, he could even though he was in a human body, he could continue to upgrade himself? How did that work? How was that working?
Putting on like the helmet and frying his brain more.
I mean, if you can upload yourself to a brain, I guess you can add more data to that brain. I didn't. Of all the things in this film, well, that was not the thing that worried me.
Yeah, I think it's more frustrating that a super intelligent computer all of a sudden becomes a dumb fish out of water that gives like Paul the like, you know.
So yeah, this film definitely, as you said, fish out of water. Mm-hmm. We're thinking films like Splash. It's definitely in that
dumb born guy category.
Yeah, Born Sexy Yesterday trope, yeah. Where like somebody falls in love with someone that's obviously mentally challenged and infantile. And for some reason, this person that's fully capable person just like falls head over heels for them. Are we done with this trope?
Apparently not. So maybe we should. Did you say this film was made now? No.
I don't know. Is it less offensive that it's a guy this time around?
The thing is, it just doesn't work on either way because, like I said, like he's a super intelligent computer. He actually knows a lot, like, but as soon as you put him in a body, he all of a sudden becomes a dummy. Like, he doesn't understand how to open a can of drink or...
Yeah, he doesn't know how to aim his penis. It's established he's watching these people live their lives the every day. Yeah. He is looking at every guy in that building whip out his dick and point his dick at the urinal multiple times a day. That's all he does. And then he can't do it himself. we definitely have that classic body swap scene where the person goes into their new body and is exploring themselves. So this one's less, I guess, less genital focused than what we normally get.
Slightly.
The first thing he does is sniff his own feet.
Yes. There was a dick thing in there, though, wasn't there? There was something. He needed to go to the toilet immediately.
To pee into
that was
the toilet.
Immediate, yeah.
I don't know.
I suppose when it's not a gender swap, it's like there's not that immediate focus on, like, I have different genitals now. It's more like, yeah. I just have a body now, including all these weird bits that in this case include a penis. So I kind of get that. But the problem is things like him not being able to pee is basically the level of what all humor in this film is. Like, explosive diarrhea, as we talked about, burping, farting, whatever it might be, that is the level of humor of this entire movie.
Yeah.
Which once again, whenever I'm looking at the film and looking beyond it to build my own like enjoyment, like I was thinking about, like, yeah, if a artificial intelligence did exist and then had to deal with the chemical imbalances of a brain, like, and all those like instinctual things flowing through you, like, He immediately is like eating and drinking and consuming, like, his impulse control is not there. You know what I mean? Like, so there's kind of things like that I know they didn't think of, but I was like, oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, well, that is one of the first things he does, is like eats too much in that body, gorges himself.
And then asks the AI, what was that AI's name? Al or something like that. Don't let me do that again. There was one.
How horrifying is that? That all the AI are like helping to like keep it covered up. Yeah,
the way the AI talk to each other, gossip to each other, fucking help each other out all the time. It's so fucked up. And I really wish it had turned to a horror film rather than turning into some sci-fi action film.
Yeah, if my house was blackmailing to tell everyone about my giant toy of drawer of sex toys.
What the fuck?
Unless I go on a date with someone, that is.
Seriously, that was one of those fucked up bits.
That's not a rom-com.
No, it moves so far away. Because not even your friend would do that, right? Like, if that was Lana's friend who she talks to on the phone, her human friend that we see in voice chat or whatever, or FaceTime, had done that, that would have been fucked up enough. But when it's your fucking personal assistant, Alexa AI thing that runs your entire life, get fucked. That was so creepy. And the fact that Lana has no reaction to that, but like, when you're getting annoying, I'm going to turn your AI preferences off. Get the fuck out of that building. Run away. You're going to die.
Yeah, imagine if Siri just tomorrow was like, started blackmailing you with your browser history.
Well, yeah, like, this is why I was saying, like, Dob is worse than Bob, because when we have a look at it, you know, if we just look at this film, we have him spying on her in her home and office, holding the doors closed and physically stopping her from leaving places.
He's a pushy stalker. Bob,
orchestrating situations to give her a false perception of reality. Literally using a network of friends to blackmail her. Like, she... This is not...
Killing people to get closer to her.
It's an arsehole for a different arsehole who's also a psychotic.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%.
And let's just acknowledge, though, that Bob was a piece of shit also. Like, he was an awful person.
Sure. But at least with Bob... Die. Yeah, he didn't deserve to die. Also, as shit a person as he was, the pickup thing wasn't working for him. The thing he learned from the girl wasn't working for him. He may have grown and realized and found someone that had a really, you know, exactly, a really great partner. He never got the opportunity, Paul, because fucking Dob erased his fucking brain.
I'm agreeing with you guys. I just wanted to make it very clear that we're not saying that Bob was a good guy.
Bob was a good guy, but I wouldn't say he deserved to be taken over by a rogue AI. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. Although maybe, you know, next day I'm showing him my pink nipples.
I thought that was a bold move. I thought I could see someone finding that, like, hilarious. He wasn't such a tool. It's like, why should you put up with me? These pink nipples.
It did remind me, there was one, you were talking about, like, whether there's a penis joke or a general joke. There was one sex joke, which is when he went to the club and there was that attractive girl who made out with him or whatever. Or she said she was beautiful or whatever. And then his line was to the boyfriend, "She makes me feel stiff in a pleasurable way."
Haven't we all been there? So what did we think of the, like, apart from the dystopian aspect of it, what did you guys think of its vision of the future?
I think poorly lit. I think it really underutilizes, like, the usefulness of an artificial intelligence. Why make them buildings? Why, like, we already saw that this Dob, like, AI could do Lana's job better than Lana. Why isn't Lana putting her feet up in, like, Honolulu while Dob does the actual marketing crap? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, and that, like, because she's a marketing executive, I guess. And then he...
I guess. We never saw anything she did after that.
She does a pitch meeting where she's trying to sell, like, a can of soda pop. And everybody in the meeting fucking hates it. It's just like this, like, generic looking bottle. It looks like she put a piece of shit on the screen and they're all like so upset. So then the next day, like, Dob does his run on it and creates his version of the can, which also looks fucking generic. Except they're like, a different artist will make the sticker, so it will be a different can that people can collect or some bullshit like that. And they all fucking jizz their pants. Like, it's something that's never been done before. Like, Coke doesn't do this five times a year.
That boardroom scene reminded me of my favorite scene in Birdemic, when they sell the company and they all get $1 million out of it. And you get to see every board member clapping. It's one of my favorite scenes in all of cinema. And it had that vibe to it.
If only we were watching Birdemic.
Another thing that I read into more than the movie actually put thought into was the fact that he was a homophobic AI.
Really? I didn't clock that. When was he homophobic?
When the... all right, so for...
The guy that, like, he had the pretend fight with or whatever?
Yeah, he hires a ruffian-looking gentleman to pretend to rob her at gunpoint.
Actually rob her on gunpoint.
Yeah, yeah.
In her mind,
because he's a nice guy.
she's got PTSD now.
And so he pretends, like, literally pretends, because it's very transparent that he's batting away the gun and telling him to, like, piss off with his head. Anyway, later on he meets up with him to be like, cheers, thanks a lot. And the guy blows it, gives him a little kiss, and he seems really, like, taken back. Like, as a AI, why is he so, like, has that sort of reaction rather than, you know what I mean?
To be fair, he offered to kiss the boyfriend of the girl that gave him a pleasurable stiff feeling. He wasn't too fazed about that. He was happy to kiss him. So, I don't know. I think he was, yeah. If I'm on Dob's side, I'm not on Dob's side for this. I don't know why I'm trying to defend him.
When you're, next time you're reviewing a prestige TV show, Brad. Are you going to think about the time you were talking about the pleasurable stiff feeling guy?
I plan to forget about this movie the minute we stop talking about it. In fact, I barely have. I keep thinking about Peacemaker scenes that involve people being taken over by things and Jim Carter for some reason, because I had to watch it all this week. It's all a blur. I can't wait to forget this movie.
But you see, like, I feel like it was a real deep and meaningful, like, reaction, because it was discussing like how flawed human beings are the ones building these AIs, you know? It's like that, like, did you hear about there was this beauty contest that was put on where programmers built an AI to like present the most beautiful person in the world using machine learning? And basically all the candidates turned out to be white.
Oh, right.
Because it was built by, like, racist people. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, and it was reflecting back the, like, anyway. I know this movie wasn't doing that, but
not
that's what
even
I pretended.
Fucking close. It didn't even slightly approach that shit. In fact, by the end of the movie, any affection they had for AI went out the window. Lana ends up with Bob, who's like 8% Dob still. And who knows what happened to Kino, Lana's AI, she's gone. Fuck those guys. It's now about Lana and Bob being together. What?
Yeah, like, so Lana gets her AI in her brain so that she can learn martial arts skills so that she
but
can
they're like
rescue
both
Dob.
Occupying it in sort of a...
like a Dragon Ball Z fusion sort of thing going on here.
I was thinking like All of Me. The All movie of Me, we did. Yeah. Yeah, where Steve Martin and Lily Tomlin are sharing a body,
sure.
That we did. But I don't even want to discuss those films in the same sentence. The other film that this really reminded me of was Virtual Sexuality, which I guess is another film about AI going into a body.
Who would
but that
believe
was...
they did it better?
Yeah. Oh, I actually really like Virtual Sexuality. You were the only one that hated that one. But at least in that one, the AI was completely based off of the personality of a human being. It wasn't a completely created thing. So it felt less gross than this one.
What was the Scarlett Johansson AI love story with
Her?
Yeah, that was a good movie. That was like, if you want to actually discuss, like, what are the implications of people and AI falling in love and, like, an AI that's ever evolving and et cetera, go watch that movie. That's all the stuff Brandon Wishes was in this movie.
Her is the picture on Wish, and AI Love You is what you get in the mail.
100%.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You started eating without me, not to mention you flirted with those skanks. What reason have you given me to go to your place?
Well, this is why. You like nipples?
Nice six-pack you got. Really hot. Too bad you're such a dick.
So you heard what we thought of the movie, but how attractive did we find the cast? Now it's time for Hot or Not.
This is why I love coming on these highbrow podcasts.
So, Brad, would you like to sing the theme song this week?
Are they a toot or a boot? Are they ugly or cute? Tell me if you're hot or not. Ding,
ding. Everyone is beautiful in their own way.
I think I put they's instead of them's in there. Whatever. You understand.
It's fine.
But very well done.
Thank you.
I didn't give you a script. You did that
no.
totally off of
I'm
listening
a fan,
to us.
Paul. I've even left a review, and anyone who doesn't is a piece of shit.
Thank you very much. I agree. All right. So, first off, Mario Maurer as Dob/Bob. Hot or not?
I think, as human beings, they're both pretty awful. And as AI, they're both pretty awful. I guess they're attractive to look at. They're like nice to look at. They have pink nipples.
I've got a stiff, pleasurable feeling for his pink nipples. Look, he's hot. Like, he's, as a character, he's a not, but he's hot. So I'm just going to give him a hot because but Paul, I'm like, superficial.
If like you said, like, is it worth the trouble? Is like, if you were on a Tinder date and this guy was acting this way, would you still...
It doesn't have to be a lifelong commitment, Brendan. It can just be one night of fun. It's fine.
No, I have to admit, like, recently I did go on a Tinder date with a guy that had very similar vibes to Bob, like in terms of his assholishness.
Okay.
And I didn't let it go any further. Oh. So I have but to say,
was he as attractive as Bob?
Not probably. He's not like a movie star, but he was definitely attractive. Like, I found the guy attractive. And if he wasn't a piece of
shit, his skin suit attractive is what you're saying.
Yes, yes. So, you know, maybe outside of this podcast, I'm not such a superficial person. Aww. But on it. Aww. But, you know, maybe that's all lies. I don't know.
In the past. Sorry, go on, Brendan.
I was just going to say, this is like a real breakthrough. It's like pink nipples aren't enough.
I'm curious, is the guy that plays Bob / Dob, is he like a famous actor in Thailand, or is he? I know Korean stuff has often been like K-pop stars and stuff.
Like, yeah, it's always a K-pop star,
yeah, especially the pretty ones.
Yeah, no, he's not a pop star, but he's definitely a heartthrob. And him and Pim Chanok, who played Lana, were in a rom com in 2010 together.
So this is Thailand's Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan is what you're telling
pretty,
me.
Pretty, like, yeah. So if you look at all the reviews of this film, it's all people going, I've been waiting for these guys to be in a film together for 12 years and this is what we got. but yeah, like, I actually watched a trailer of the film they were in together and it actually looks super charming. It's like a coming of age film. She's kind of like the nerdy girl, nerdy, awkward girl in school, and he's the heartthrob, and they fall for each other. And it actually looks cute. There's no rogue AIs in it.
Do they swap bodies?
No.
Thank God.
No, you don't have to watch it. Don't worry. So, on to that. Pim Chanok, Lu Wise Thang Pain Bon. I fucking slaughtered that. Sorry. Sorry to the people of Thailand.
It was eight, different in eight different ways to the first time I pronounced it. It was perfect.
Yes.
She's probably listening right now. She's either bilingual or she's got an interpreter to...
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I'm sure she's super intelligent, can pronounce all of our names perfectly, and I'm just disrespecting the fuck out of it. I'm very sorry. But did we find her attractive?
Yes.
Is the question.
Yes. Yes. She's very, very... good to look at.
Yeah, nah, Lucy's not here, so like her tits, right? Oh, I could just, you know, play with those. Oh wait, my wife's listening. Yeah, she's right.
Brian, you said you were gonna stop this behavior.
My internet cut out. I don't know what happened there. It's fucking connection from Adelaide to Melbourne. Something went wrong. I'm sorry. What happened?
You don't want to know. You're gonna listen back and be like, oh my god, take me off.
I don't want to be involved in this anymore.
Cancelled by association.
She's a beautiful person. Yeah. Her character was boring as fuck.
There is no character.
There's
obviously something wrong with her as well. Like, as much as there was Bob, because
she was actually impressed by him having diarrhea and burping. Look, there are some people with shit fetishes. I'm not going to kink shame anyone. She was obviously one of them.
That's gross.
You heard it here first.
It's a sanitary thing.
No Shiza porn for Brendan. All right, so David Asavenaud as the Hawk, the guy that was hunting down the rogue AIs, also the sex guru.
I mean, I wasn't attracted to him. I'd be more interested in your opinion on this, I think, Paul.
Oh, he is gross.
Oh, okay, cool.
But is it just because he's just because he was a pickup artist?
He just had that vibe of...
He should be wearing a fedora.
Yeah. He's just one of those like fucking nerdy ass fucking dweebs that puts on like a leather jacket and then thinks he's like a fucking sex god. Like, I like dweebs, but like, know your fucking place. You know, you're not Brad Pitt. You're just a piece of shit, ugly 50-year-old man. So leave me alone.
He definitely dressed up and took that sword with him to like the Matrix Reloaded or something like that. Like, he lined up for day one tickets.
And yes. The ponytail wasn't helping anything.
Yeah. Like, everything about him was just made my skin crawl.
But I think it was supposed to, so.
Yeah. Yeah, good work. You did a good job.
You were great.
There aren't any more characters, Paul. There's no one in this movie. There are characters in this movie.
Yeah, like, I'm looking at the rest of the cast. It's like bartender.
Yeah.
What did you guys think when they were at that party and there was like an old man singing? Like, what the fuck
at
was
the party
that?
Or at the party or at the club? I can't remember.
He was doing karaoke at the second.
They were like on a rooftop bar.
Oh, yeah. And when then, the date that was going so well after the explosive diarrhea and the burpee and shit.
Yeah.
I thought I knew the song, but I think it was just so terribly done. That
I think it was supposed to sound like another song, but they couldn't get the rights.
Yeah, okay. I think it actually seemed like it would be a cool location. Like, there's no way they built a set or whatever. It was probably actually was a cool rooftop bar somewhere that they hired out on a Tuesday night when no one wanted to be there. I don't know.
Yeah, I reckon even the rooftop bar where he had the diarrhea I went to when I was in Thailand, because I recognized it. Yeah. There's a lot, like, the hotels and everything in Thailand are beautiful in Bangkok. Mm. And a lot of this architecture, I think, they just took and then just added a robot head to it.
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. That was how it was done. And it worked. That, weirdly, as you were talking about special effects earlier, we should come back around to it. I didn't hate that look. Like, that was original, as you said, but this did nothing with it. I did want to talk quickly about that club that he goes to when he gets the stiffness, great feeling, whatever. The club was just called The Club. Like, that's fucking confidence. That's strong branding if you can be just known as The Club.
Yeah.
The other thing I was thinking was that some, like, a traffic light sort of situation going on? Because it seemed like people who were wearing glasses didn't interact with anybody else. Only people who weren't wearing those weird, like, glow-in-the-dark sunglass things were interacting with Bob and so forth. They were the ones who wanted to, like, pick up and so forth. I don't think that was actually happening. I just think they wanted to make sure that anyone who was an extra couldn't see their fucking eyes.
And how pumping was that club? Like, I'm joking. There were just like people standing miles away. It was like a club during COVID.
It might have been during COVID, actually.
It was probably during COVID.
And then like everyone's dancing to a different song. Like, nobody is dancing to the same rhythm. It was, that's good.
We'll give it a hot.
I was just kissing a very attractive woman. She's my girlfriend, you ass wife.
Just leave him alone. And hey, don't mind him. He's jealous.
Jealous, huh? Did you want me to kiss you as well? What's wrong with you, man? Pardon, I'm still new to all of this. I got really stiff right after your girlfriend kissed me. You son of a bitch!
Now it's time for Opinion Swap, where we find some entertaining reviews of AI Love You from across the interwebs. I had to sift through a sea of people fangirling over the two actors. but I eventually did find some. All right, so this one's from Rain on Letterboxd, who gives it 2 stars. Not even a robot falling in love with a woman could disturb me as much as the My Pink Nipple scene. I could never look at Mario the same way ever again. Thank you very much. So, core demographic also isn't on board with the pink nipples. All right. So, this one is from Snoots on IMDb. And they say, language note. Parents should be warned that English voiceovers contain vulgarity not included in the original Thai version, nor in the English subtitles. I consider that both unnecessary and a betrayal of the original version. Such poor translation can't even be accounted to cultural differences. It was just gratuitous slop translation. So instead of my standard 5-star mediocre rating, it gets 3 stars for raunchy translation.
Did you watch the film twice, once dubbed, once subbed, Paul, to find out what the key differences was?
No, because I actually just found this review today and I watched this film 3 days ago. But it's funny that this person obviously wanted to show this film to their kids.
The cute building robots, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, and the cute stiff in a pleasurable way feeling.
Exactly.
And the cute blackmail over sex toy sequence. All right, so this person gives it 2 out of 10. Not that bad at all.
2 out of 10 is not that bad.
Not that bad.
So this is from Stefan on IMDb, by the way. This movie do have some good bits. It has a start, a middle, and an ending. It has sound and made in color. The AI building are the best part of the movie. The script has a lot of potential for improvement. A large part of the budget has been spent on special effects, actually almost all the budget. Target group for this is nuclear. It feels like a special effects. It feels like a special effects showreel. A solid 2 out of 10.
This was written by a chatbot. What the fuck was that? It was an AI.
Maybe that's
that was
what
standing.
They would go for.
AI.
Yeah. AI.
Maybe Dob wrote it.
Maybe Dob did write it. 8% of Dob that was left wrote that.
And finally, this one's from M Blanks on IMDb. He gives it 10 out of 10. The future is not too far off. Funny how this movie makes so much sense. Technology has become so advanced and we use artificial intelligence in our everyday lives. Our computer phones, the TV, the internet, in either Japan or China, they already have a robot that resembles human features with almost a mind of its own. It's being taught how to learn. So in all honesty...
So it's being taught, movie- it's being taught how to learn.
How to learn. But it doesn't know how.
This could take a while.
So in all honesty, the movie isn't that far-fetched and could and should be easy for anyone to understand. This kind of future isn't that far away. Movies like this have been out forever. Humans have always been trying to figure out a way to make it happen, playing God with something that they will not be able to control.
Where's this going? I thought we were talking about the movie.
Playing God with
for
something
centuries,
that...
For centuries, man has looked to the skies.
Playing God with something that they will... Fucking shit. Playing God with something that they will not be able to control one day. Oh, the irony of it all. Good movie, though.
Maximum score, 10 out of 10.
10 out of 10. This should be shown in schools.
Oh. Bob, what's wrong with you?
Oh, this is awkward. But I have to go use the facilities. I'm sorry. Will you excuse me?
Sure.
Let's get to tenuous recommendations, where we each recommend a piece of media that is linked to today's movie in some way. And a reminder, if you ever want to see the list of all the recommendations we have made on the show, head over to our Letterboxd page, which is linked on our website. So, Brod, you're the guest. You can start us off this week.
I 100% forgot to do this.
That's okay. I was just going to say, I think we've all clearly stated, if not 5 times already, if you haven't seen Her, like, this isn't going to be my recommendation.
Sure.
This is going to be all of our recommendations. Yeah. If the concept of this film sounds like something you would actually want to see, but done well, definitely watch Her. Her is amazing.
Okay. Yeah. I actually came up with one that I like. A recommendation I like. Am I going first? I'm going to recommend a game, a video game called Doki Doki Literature Club. It's actually a game. This is what makes it really easy to recommend, is because the more I tell you about it, I just shouldn't tell you anything about it. Basically, it's a game you can basically play in one night. It's essentially a dating sim. Which is very popular sort of game style in like Japanese games and so forth. It's very anime style. It's like, it's about you who's at a school and there are these three or four girls who are all sort of vying for your attention and you choose who you want to date basically. And stuff happens and it's not quite what it seems. And if you play the game, you will find out how this is tenuously recommended, tenuously connected to AI I Love You. But it's actually a good time. It starts off feeling kind of cute and rote as a like a dating sim. It's not for kids. 18 plus or 15 plus only. Doki Doki Literature Club, it's on Steam, I'm pretty sure. I think it may have even had an update recently. Definitely a game I'd recommend playing if you've got a PC in particular. It's a lot of fun on that.
I heard about this and I know kind of a bit about it.
Yes.
The thing that kind of put me off of it from what I've heard about it is, do you have to be like really good at games and computer language?
No, you don't have to be really good. You don't have to be really good. It will, it does get meta, and that, I'll put it this way. If you got stuck, go online and find a guide. And even if you have to follow the guide to continue the story or whatever, you will still be impressed and by the creativity of how this game was made, if that makes sense. So even if you get stuck and you can't quite figure out, and there are a couple of points where it will clue you in as to what you need to do, sort of push you in that direction if you wait long enough. But if you're really, really stuck, and it's really just the very end of the game where you need to be particularly aware of this stuff. This is so vague. It's so hard to explain without giving it away. But if you followed a guide, you would still go, oh, that's fucking cool. Put it that way.
Okay.
It's not for everybody. It's also trigger warnings, I think, would be important as well, because it gets pretty dark at times. Maybe not for people who are sensitive to like graphic images or depictions of like depression or suicide and that sort of stuff, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Right. But like really, really interesting piece of a very interesting video game, and one that actually is, weirdly tangentially connected to AI I Love You.
Cool.
Doki Doki Literature Club.
Brendan, have you ever heard of that one? Or?
I haven't, but it sounds like it's up my alley. I might give it a look.
Yeah, you can probably finish it in one night. I did it in one night. It took me about 6 hours, I think.
Awesome. Nice. All right, I'll go next. I want to recommend a good Thai movie. So I don't know if either of you guys have seen this one before, from 2003, Ong Bak. Starring Tony Jaa. Have either of you guys seen this?
Mm-mm. I don't know if I've seen it since I was like 15 or something like that.
Okay.
But yes. I remember having a bowl.
Yes. So this is the film that put the martial arts superstar Tony Jaa on the map. He's since done a whole bunch of movies in Thailand. And he's also been in Hollywood movies like the Fast and the Furious films. But this is the film that got him where he is now. And it's a martial arts film with a very simple premise. Tony Jaa is in his like remote village, and then these evil guys come and steal the sacred statue of the village and bring it back to the city. And then he has to go to the city and fight his way through the city to get the statue back. Cool. But what's remarkable about this film is that it has zero special effects in it. And it has some of the most insane martial arts action you'll ever see. Like all the stunts they did for real, and it's brutal. And it really brings you back to, you know, watching all those old Jackie Chan films where they'd have like the end credits bloopers, like, and people are really getting hurt. This film takes that to the next level. Like the people are doing insane shit in this film. And it's just a joy to watch. And like, especially when you watch like so many Hollywood action films that are cut to ribbons, that like nobody's actually doing anything with weight to it. This is the complete opposite of that. So if you love your martial arts and you haven't seen Ong Bak, watch Ong Bak. It's a very easy film to watch. It's not long. It's super fast paced, amazing action. So yeah, definitely give it a go.
Cool.
Brendan, what's yours?
I'm just going to lay out a decent artificial intelligence film. So I think most people are into this sort of genre. This is sort of a standard. But for those who have never seen it, I'm recommending Ex Machina.
That was the one before I thought of Doki Doki. It was that and Blade Runner 2049 were the two I was thinking of.
Yeah, I feel like there's a few that are just like so obvious, but I was like, I don't think Ex Machina gets, like, I know anyone who's a fan of this genre has seen it, but I think a lot more people would enjoy it than just nerds who like talking about computers.
It's an exceptional movie. I remember walking out of that film, seeing it in the cinemas, and my initial impression was that I really liked it, but I didn't love the end. And then I thought about it more and more as like standing waiting for the train. I was like, actually, I fucking love that
movie.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, for that very reason, I won't say a lot, but it's about a guy who's works for like a Google-esque kind of company who's been awarded to go off into the middle of nowhere to stay with a Steve Jobs type of guy. And basically, he's created the first true artificial intelligence, and he's tasked this guy with sitting down with that artificial intelligence and trying to determine, doing a Turing test to determine whether or not it is the real deal. And it is awesome, and it's scary and interesting and very unique. So I highly recommend people watch that.
Yeah, I remember that was my favorite film the year it came out. So highly recommend it.
Directed by Alex Garland, who did 28 Days Later, he wrote that, Annihilation. What else did he do? A bunch of good stuff.
He just recently did the TV series.
Oh, Devs.
Devs.
That's right. Which we reviewed on Hunting Seasons.
Yeah.
I think with Paul.
Yeah.
there you go.
But I was also going to just throw in there, because I like a lot of this genre, but if you want to take a little lighter and fun, there's an immersive internet story called The Future of Football. And you can enjoy reading that along on sbnation.com/a/17776-football/chapter1.
Could they just Google The Future of Football?
Yeah, I guess so. They could do that. or just Google 17776.
I'm sure that'll take you directly there.
What? That's a level 5 body hijack. That AI has gone rogue.
Rogue?
Exactly, rogue. My smart buildings, they're all state of the art. Achieving technology like this requires multiple layers of complex coding. Yeah. There's a word for this shit. Chaos.
If you head over to our website, you'll see that each of us has ranked every body swap movie we've reviewed on the podcast. So my question is, where are we all going to put AI Love You on our list? So obviously Brod has only reviewed like 2 things on our show.
This is the third thing I reviewed on your show.
But it means he gets to choose for Lucy.
So straight to the top of Lucy's list. No, this will go at the bottom of the list of the things we've reviewed on this. And I'm trying to think as well. We did the TV shows on here too, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
Yeah, so I'm still putting this at the bottom of the list. Just the list is longer than I initially thought.
Soul?
It's definitely Soul. No, I'd put, well, I wasn't on. I was going to say Heart and Soul goes on my list, even though I wasn't on the podcast to review it. Heart and Soul probably goes to the top. Soul, and then what was there? Buffy, Lizzie McGuire, Futurama, and what was the other one? I can't even remember. Oh, and Community. Yeah. They're all next, not necessarily in that order. Definitely followed by AI Love You down the bottom.
Yeah, that's fair.
Do I need to justify that?
No.
The movie was really average, Gus.
Brendan, where are you putting it?
I'm going to put it between My Brother the Pig and the Shaggy Dog, because I had a lot more fun with My Brother the Pig than I did in this film. So that's that.
I'm surprised it's even close to My Brother the Pig then.
Well, that's sort of become like, you know, the barometer. Anything under that, I'm starting to just go.
Where was the Shaggy DA as opposed to the Shaggy Dog? Was it above or below the Shaggy Dog on your list, Brendan?
Shaggy DA was further down than the Shaggy Dog. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But not too far. I think it's sandwiching Heaven Can Wait.
I am going to put this between Exchange and Chances Are. So, I wanted to put it near Exchange because that was another, like, sci-fi, like, dystopian sci-fi thing.
But that had, like, awesome car chase scene with explosions and stuff.
Yeah, that's why I'm putting it below Exchange.
Yeah, yeah. I'm
this had a green LED sword, Brendan. Come on,
yeah.
Buddy.
So yeah, it's below all the cool, like, car chases and boobs of Exchange, but better than Robert Downey Jr. having sex with his own daughter in Chances Are. So, next episode, yet again, we're going to do a brand new body swap, Phil.
Oh, my goodness.
2 weeks in a row. Well, 2 episodes in a row. They just
when
keep
do we
making
ever do
them.
An old one that we've already done?
They heard you were running.
Sorry, a new
release.
Okay, sorry. Oh, we're going to do a different one this week. I was like, haven't we been doing that this entire series?
They knew you were running out and they're like, we've got to keep giving content for the Swapcast podcast. We need to keep making more.
We are not running out.
Brendan and Lucy wished you were running out.
We could literally keep going for 10 years, if they didn't make any more body swap movies.
I live for our 10-year swap episodes because, like, that's all I want to do is tell people what to watch and why I like it.
Well, I think we have a good chance of liking next week's. So this is Pixar's latest movie, which is dropping on Disney+ on March 11th, which is
Red?
Next week. Turning Red? Red.
Does this mean I'm coming back next week as well? I want to review Turning Red.
You're more than welcome to come back, Brad, if you'd like.
2 Pixar film reviews. And now we're talking. Do you know I went on, I think I said this at the time, I went on a fucking game show with Pixar as my special subject, right? This is my fucking bag.
Yeah, I've seen that episode.
Oh, did you? Fuck.
Yeah. You know, I was on Australian Idol. That was my... Yes.
I watched that.
I'm going to go find that right now.
I'll show you after the episode. All right. Turning Red stars Sandra Oh and Jordan Fisher, and it centers around a 13-year-old girl that turns into a red panda whenever she's excited. I think I'm going to turn into a red panda because I'm excited about this episode.
Fucking oath. I'm looking forward to this. I've seen some weird criticisms about the art style or the... not the animation, but the art style. I think it looks really fun. Pixar aren't just like continuing to do the Pixar face for every, like, you know, DreamWorks characters all seem to look the same in every movie. I'm like, glad they're mixing it up. Looks really good.
And I think it's got like either NSYNC or a Backstreet Boys song in the trailer. Like, fucking sign me up.
How can you lose?
Now I know what I'm recommending for next as well.
Luca, Pixar's last film, was my favorite film of last year. So I'm fucking hyped.
It's a
good
movie.
Yeah. Until next time, don't be a piece of shit on the ground, DPW, and review us on iTunes or Spotify. And I was Paul Mitzi.
I was Brendan Levi.
And I was Broderick Gross of the Hunting Seasons podcast. You can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Come and find us. We're reviewing Peacemaker next week.
Yes. And I was just on there reviewing And Just Like That for you Sex and the City fanatics.
Fuck me. I still have not listened to that episode.
You should. If you enjoy hearing me getting berated, then you should
listen
to it.
Oh, maybe I will.
All right. Until next time. Bye.
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 The Swapcast podcast is recorded in Adelaide, Australia. It's hosted by Paul Mitzi and edited by Brendan Levi and Paul Mitzi. Our theme song was written and performed by John Marco of 2 Creative, featuring Lucy Thomas, and recorded at Browntown Studios. Our music bumpers were created by Reggie Parker. Contact him on parkerregmusic@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.